Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth thee. For mine enemies speak against me, and they lay wait for my soul, take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O God, O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is come. You can be seated. Father, Lord, I beg you for your touch tonight. Lord, I beg you, Lord, to help me, God, for just a few minutes, Lord, share to your people, God, what you laid on my heart. Lord, I'm unworthy to stand here today. Lord, I thank you, God, that you pressed upon my heart. Lord, I thank you that I was smart enough to heed the call. God, I thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to me. Lord, I beg you, please hide me behind the cross tonight. God, please don't let these people see me, Lord, because there is none good in me. God, I prayed I would exemplify and exhort Jesus Christ. Use me, Lord, as thy vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 71, as I was attempting to study last night, Miss Maddie's a bit loud or something, vacuuming and stuff like that. As I was attempting to study last night, I was a little bit overwhelmed over everything that had transpired yesterday and just the good day that the Lord had given me. And the preacher, like I said, in his normal fashion, looked at me and said, after I had gotten done telling him and him and Brother Allen, and he said, well, I'm glad you got Sunday night. And in my normal fashion, I said, I'm glad I got what Sunday night? He said, well, no, you just preached Sunday night. I said, all right, like Sunday night in May? He said, no, I'm talking about tomorrow night. So here we are. I guess that answers that. But I sat down trying to study, and I flipped through some of Miss Maddie's old outlines, and I realized I had already taught all those, and I got to looking through the house to see if she had any new ones, and evidently she ain't been studying because there ain't no new ones laying around. So I thought, well, I'm on my own. And I remembered Brother Bradley Boone said there's a website that has outlines on it. I scrolled through that thing all night long. There ain't nothing on there. I heard a couple. No, I ain't going to say that. I seen a couple in there I seen before. No, but the Lord really spoke to me last night. I tried to study, and He continuously brought me back to Psalms chapter 71. I must have been extremely overjoyed as I continued to read it over and over and over again, because I caught myself reading the first line of each verse throughout the chapter instead of the whole chapter. I don't know if y'all do that, but I got ahead of myself, and I was missing a whole last part of the verse. But I got to think about it. I said, wait a minute. Maybe I didn't miss it. I want to read it to you without doing the Scriptures any harm. I want to read it to you for just a second. If you read the first sentence of every verse in 71, I begin to think, I've been here. I think I've prayed this. I think I have cried this out to the Lord myself. Here's the first sentence of every verse of 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Be thou my strong habitation. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Be thee have I been holding up, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. I am a wonder unto many. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. Cast me not off in my time of old age. For mine enemies speak against me, saying, God hath forsaken him. O God, be not far from me. Let me be confounded and consumed that are our adversaries to my soul. But I will hope continually. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. I will go in strength of the Lord God. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Well, that sounds like a prayer that I would have prayed. If I just take the first sentences of each of this part portion, the first verse of the Psalm 71, it sounds like a prayer that I prayed before in my life. Hitting those first verses through there, I begin to remember some things. The Bible says in 70 and 71, David is beginning to remember these things. Remember where God's brought him from. Remember where God was going to take him. And he just sat back and in a spirit of remembrance. Tonight, I just want to remember a little bit. I want to remember how good the Lord's been to me. And I want to share my heart with you in remembrance. I started hitting the first lines of these verses and I begin to remember these things. And I remembered in verse 1, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. July the 25th, 2005, as an 8-year-old little boy, I remember the time and the place where in Thee, O Lord, that I put my trust. I remember the many times I've had to cry, deliver me in Thy righteousness. Be Thou my habitation, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Many times I've cried, deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked. And on and on and on I began to remember. Then I got down closer to verse 17 and the psalmist said, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. I remember going to church about 9 months before I was born. Kinda, right? I remember what it was like standing just a couple miles down the road from here at the Blue Ridge Baptist camp meeting at 3 and 4 and 5 years old. And man, I started to remember. I began to remember them days. I remember what it was like seeing my Nana and Papa on the left side with the little mountain section, the little mountain crowd, and seeing my Ma and Papa on the right side, about 3 rows behind Preacher Bill. That was their section, their seat. But I can remember them things, and I remember it 3 and 4 and 5 as God allowed me to sing at the Blue Ridge Baptist camp meeting. Boy, I remember my grandpa standing up, and he say, sing, son, sing, son, sing, son. Boy, I remember them things. I remember those times. I remember that crowd. Oh God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. I remember the first time God showed me that I was lost when I was 6 years old. The preacher's son had actually come and asked me. And he said, tap me on the shoulder. I went down to the altar. And the preacher's son had tapped me on the shoulder and said, Elijah, have you ever been saved? You know what my spiritual 6-year-old answer was? Well, Lord, yeah. I came down to pray with that heathen over there. His name is Stamen Johnson. Stamen, if you're wondering, I came down to pray for you with you when you want to. I came down to pray with Stamen. I'm fine. And I pushed him away, but that was the first time that God had ever knocked on my door and said, hey, buddy, you're lost. And it scared me. Guess what I did? As being a spiritual 6-year-old, I go home and tell my parents, yeah, I got saved today. I'll see y'all later. They said, what? They said, you did. And thank God I had a mom and daddy with some spiritual discernment not to save me at 6 years old. And I love that around here, the teachers, Brother Aaron, Brother Josh, all the teachers are not going to save your children in themselves. And my parents could have easily said, yeah, you did. And then when I got off into a life of sin, all this stuff, I said, don't you remember when you were saved at 6? Well, I mean, it's very scary. We begin to save our young people. But I'm thankful I had a mom and daddy, or they had discernment to say, okay, well, we'll just pray about it. We'll talk about it. I remember that at 6 years old. I remember as my life went on and I began to continually to grow, I remember being downstairs in the shop with Daddy and I was 8 years old and God began to tap me on the shoulder again and immediately I knew if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. And I was 8. You know, what does an 8-year-old have to repent of stealing a couple extra cookies? I mean, or getting a little bit extra when mama said no. I mean, I was 8. Boy, I had the same sin nature as the drunk. I was just as vile. And God began to show me, hey, even though you're 8, you still need a Savior. You still need Jesus. And I remember being in the shop with Daddy, and Daddy was working. I thought, I can slip out. We had a Doberman at that time. I can slip out. If I can get past this dog, I can make it upstairs. And I can make it upstairs, and I can just begin to ask. I was really going to hide, but guess who was in the kitchen? Mama's in the kitchen. So I remember going upstairs, and I remember taking a lift to go up through there, and she's in the kitchen, and I guess we was eating. That's what we do a lot at my house. And I guess she was about to eat, and she come around, and I said, I got to ask her something. So I remember going around the corner. Mama's in the kitchen. I said, "Hey, Mama. Hey, what did it feel like when God was convicting you, when God called you to be saved?" And she said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, well, what did it feel like? What did it feel like when God was drawing you to be saved?" And she said, "Well, I felt like my heart was going to beat out of my chest." And I said, "Okay." And immediately turned into the long hallway in our house. And I'm pretty sure I sprinted down that hallway to get to the bathroom and shut the door real fast. And I began to weep and say, "Oh, God, I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't ask Jesus to save me." And immediately the devil said, "Man, your mom and daddy thinks you're saved. Man, your mom and daddy thinks you're right. Man, you're the deacon's son. Your mama plays the piano. What are you doing?" But the flames of hell and the scared of torment was way too far beyond to listen to his lies. So I began to wipe my face and pretend like I wasn't crying. And as you can tell, I didn't do a good job. Because as I walked back in there, she kind of looked at me funny. And I was trying to look at the ceiling and everything, you know how 8-year-old boys do. And I walked back in there and I saw her. And as soon as we made eye contact, I said, "Mama, I'm not saved. Mama, I got to know Jesus. Mama, the flames of hell are up my backside. I got to know Jesus." And she said, "You want me to go get your daddy?" I said, "Mama, he's only downstairs. Mama, there ain't enough time. Open that Bible. I've got to be saved." She opened her Bible and we had an ugly floral couch in our den. Don't tell her I said that. We had a floral couch in our den. And I remember going over to the den and Mama said, she's beginning to cry, and she opened that Bible and she said, "Son, I don't have to even explain this to you. You know what to do." And I bowed on that couch and I began to weep and I began to cry and ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me from my sins. 8 years old. Well, I remember those days. I remember at that time, Mama, I thought it was the grandest thing to go to your grandparents' house. Remember that time, I began to make some phone calls, and I called a couple people that had been praying for me because, again, I had spiritual parents that stepped back and said, "Hey, we need to have some discernment here." They had asked some people to help me pray about my son, and I'm thankful they did, and I know those people were my grandparents. And I began to say, "Hey, can we go tell Ma and Papa? Can we go tell Nana and Papa?" I remember getting in the car and they let me go over. And it was like, man, this ain't even a special occasion. I just get to go over. It was a special occasion. I didn't realize it. I remember rolling up and there was J.K. Ferris. I pulled into the driveway. They pulled in the driveway. I wasn't driving, of course. I was 8. They pulled into the driveway. All right, now thank God for this thing. God gracious. They pulled into the driveway and I could see him there. He's beside his red four-wheeler just come up from the garden. And I begin to run out and I'm saying, "Hey, Pop, I got good news to tell you." And he was like, "What's that?" I said, "Pop, I just got saved." And after about 15 minutes of running around the house, he finally come back to me and said, "Son, that's great." As he was running and shouting around, I said, "That's great. Go in there and tell your Ma." And I remember going in the house and sneaking through the house and going back to the middle portion of the house. And she's sitting in her chair. And I said, "Ma, I've got good news to tell you. Hey, I asked Jesus to save me." And I remember her grabbing me up and crying and said, "Son, that's the best decision you'll ever make in your life." I remember getting to leave there, though, and this is great. This is I think it was a Thursday evening. This is great. I've already went to Ma and Papa's house. I look at Dad and say, "Well, I got to go see Nana and Papa." He said, "Get in the car." Now, this was Pilot to Westfield to Arat. So now we're on our way to 179 Nurse Road. And we're going through there, and I'm bebopping through, and I get to go in, and they're sitting in the tail, and I say, "Hey, Nana and Papa, guess what? Jesus has saved me." But I said, "Boy, that's the greatest decision you'll ever make." I remembered those things. I remember the first time I went off to youth camp. It was actually Gospel Lights Christian Camp. And the first time being away from home. And I was thinking, "Dear God, if we get with, ain't nobody even know where I'm at. That bus left Walkertown and I didn't see a single soul since. And I thought if something happens, Mama's not going to be able to find me. There's no cell phone reception service up here. These cabins, there's no air conditioning. I'm done for. I'm not being able to go home anymore. I thought, I've seen my family for the last time. This is actually boot camp. You know, something bad's going to happen." And I'm standing before you today, so they did bring me home. But I remember going to my first youth camp, Gospel Lights Camp.
I remember the youth leaders and the youth pastors that God placed in my life in my early teenage years. I remember at 13 being able to pile into vans and head toward the Union Grove campground of Cleveland, Georgia, to see some of my heroes, Brother Mark Stroud, Brother Dwayne Moore, all right, as they've been staples in my life. I remember the time that God speaking to my heart down there and proving Himself real in my life from the day that I turned 8 all the way up to, and we're at youth camp, and camp was the biggest thing. You unplug from the world, all right, you get to just be you and the Lord. And I remember them times that the Lord would teach me and have that proven ground for me down in Georgia. I remember I got to go in between 10 and 12 years, and I went down and I was better acquainted with these great men of God, which I'm thankful for today. Men like Brother Lee Davis that preached to me, Brother Dean McNeese. I met Brother Dorsey there. Brother Sammy Allen was larger than life. He was sitting on to the side. And when Brother Sammy got up here, he said, "Let me get you a Bible." I mean, that was Brother Sammy, man. I can back and do it just right. Brother Sammy get up here, "Son, you better miracle." And now that was him, buddy. And he signed Bibles after church. And I thought, man, I'm going to wait in this 1,000-person line here to get Brother Sammy Allen to sign my Bible. Boy, big days in my life. I remember Brother Rudy Smith. Brother Mark would stand up, and Brother Rudy, you could tell that they were, I think it's Union Grove Holiness campground. We didn't want Holiness, it was Ball Baptist. But you could tell they were Holiness because the auditorium set, 2,000, and the fellowship hall set 200. So they were definitely not Baptists. It's the other way around for us. But I remember is that long auditorium, Brother Rudy Smith would sit on the backhand side. Brother Mark would get up here and he'd say, "Brother Rudy, why don't you stand up and exhort about the blood of Jesus for a little while?" And he would stand back there and preach a solid 45 minutes standing in his pew on the precious, royal, ruby red blood of Jesus. Well, I remember those things. I remember those days. I remember the night Brother Lee Davis preached, "Let God build your house." And I remember praying on them altars, "God, please send me the wife you'd have me to have." I remember praying on them altars and making a covenant with Jesus, saying, "God, I'll let you build my house. God, if you'll give me the wife I'm supposed to have, Lord, here's my life." I remember the covenants that we made on there, covenants of accountability down on those altars. I remember, "Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth." I remember ever graduating from North Stokes and God was there. I remember heading off to college and finding out that the same God that lived in Pilot Mountain was the same God that was at UNC Charlotte. All right, because I hadn't been very far from the house. I remember that was the same God. I remember the college days as God watched over me. I remember long nights alone begging God at UNC Charlotte to show me His path and His will for my life. And all I could say, it was 3 o'clock in the morning one day. It was dark. Hey, guess what, young people? Mom and Daddy ain't with you. You can go and do stupid things if you want to. And really, nobody's going to find out, but God knows. And I remember sitting at college at 3 a.m. and sitting there begging God, "God, help me." I think it was because of physics and chemistry. But I said, "God, help me. I ain't going to make it. God, what do you want me to do?" And I remember sitting on the edge of my bed at 1204 Rebecca Bailey Drive, and saying, "God, you know my desire is only to help people. God, please show me your path." I remember graduating and coming back, and about that time is when COVID hit this area. And I found myself in a dark hospital beginning to beg for the lives of my family. I remember standing outside Northern Hospital in the parking lots, praying and begging, and men of God coming and friends and family coming, begging God for my family. I also remember standing over 2 caskets in front of a church full and having to say, "I'm the grandson of J.K. and Joyce Ferris." And I stood over those 2 caskets that day, and even basically till now, I didn't understand that. Boy, I didn't understand that. Why would God take 2 pillars in my life? Why would God take prayer warriors, man, that prayed basically to where I am today? I didn't understand that. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. I watched Satan slowly begin to attack our family during that time. 2 years later, I watched us walk down the exact same road with my Nana. And for the 3rd time, I had to stand over another one that had took care of me for over 25 years. Boy, I didn't understand that. where there was dark days. I remember the day Miss Maddie got all her dreams and wishes granted to her on October the 7th, 2023. What are y'all laughing about? All her dreams and wishes were granted when I slipped that ring on her finger and said, I do. And by the way, that was in a church. We got married in a church. The preacher hit it this morning. Started off right in a church. That's free. That's free. But I remember those days. Even at my wedding, the sweet Spirit of God that was able to move throughout the day. Oh God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. I want to take a time out just say, yeah, young people, you better marry right. You better marry right. Hey, I could have married somebody else and I would not be here. I could not even be in church today. I could not accept, not even accepted the call to preach. Maybe have done ruin my life somewhere. Boy, you better marry right. You better make sure it's God's will. Hey, anything that's going to take you from church, that ain't it. Anything that's going to steal you from your family, that's not it. I promise you. Oh, you better marry right. I remember shortly thereafter, there's some dark days to begin to enter in front of me and Miss Maddie. And at this time, I'm having to be the spiritual leader. Now, there's more than just me, right? There's Miss Maddie. And I'm okay if you mess with me, but don't touch Miss Maddie. I'm okay if you come against me. I got thick skin. I'll give it back to you. But don't mess with Miss Maddie. It's kind of the same way with your family. You don't mess with the family. But I went through some dark days and dark times, and I had to be the example not only for myself and my family, but I had a wife now. I remember those times. And I remember asking God, what's going on? What do I do? What's next? And He simply told me, He said, son, as this door closes, I'm going to need you to serve me in the hallway until the next one opens. And that's exactly what we did. I remember walking into this new building for the very first time. Yeah, I'd been in the old sanctuary many times, but I remember walking into this new building. And I remember God beginning to prod me as the preacher began to speak of a youth leader and a youth leader. God finally said, okay, you've been waiting in the hallway. Now it's time to walk through the next door. Oh God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. I remember God, as I sit back there, kind of where Jason's family's sitting, I remember me and Miss Maddie sitting back there, and God began to prod me and said, Judges 2:10 rolled over and over and over. And He said, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. And I'm sitting back there thinking, oh God, that's this generation. God, that's the next generation coming. That's this generation. Shortly after that, we met with the preacher, and y'all know the story. Here I am today. But during that process and in that time, I remember Lucas calling me on the phone. This is as we just took youth leaders, and Lucas called me on the phone. Most of you don't know that me and Lucas have got a long history together. Lucas grew up at my grandpa's church. And I began to see Lucas one day, and I don't think I'll embarrass him. He's watching right now. But I began to see Lucas one day, and he called me on the phone, and he said, hey, I lied to you. And some of you may not know, I'm also his rescue chief. So I thought, what has he done? You know, this is going to be bad. Lucas picked up the phone and said, I need to apologize to you. And I thought, he just crashed something. This is bad. I'm going to have to, it's hard to write a letter, dear chief, when you're the chief. All right, so this is going to be bad. I'm going to have to, dear state, you know, I'm already figuring it out. I said, what's he done? He said, man, I lied to you. I said, well, my buddy, what you talking about? And he said, I lied to you. I said, well, buddy, what you talking about? And he said, I wasn't saved when you asked me. I wasn't saved when you asked me. He said, however, I called you to give you a good report that I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me from my sins. And after me and Miss Maddie wiped the tears where we could see which button to get him on speakerphone, he said, I want to get baptized. I said, man, that's great. He said, I want y'all to be there. I said, man, I wouldn't miss that for the world. He said, all right, how about 15 minutes? I said, what? He said, yeah, I'm going to get baptized about 15 minutes off Riverside. I was like, well, Lord, hang on. Let me wipe my mouth. That was eating supper. I'm wiping my mouth. I'll be here in a minute. Went and watched Lucas be baptized. You know what that was? That was fruit off the account of my grandpa for staying faithful so many years. All right, and just having a little bitty part in Lucas's life. Boy, you see, Lucas was kind of like Nicholas, and I'm proud of these two young men. Kind of like Nick. Lucas would show up at the rescue squad, and you kind of turn around, and he was there. All right, he's kind of sneak up on you, scare you to death, and to see where God's brought him from. I watched him for the first time worship right in the middle of that, right in the middle of those pews. Boy, oh God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. I remember Lucas being saved. I remember the time when Nicholas, I saw his leg bound. I actually thought there was somebody, like a big truck or something, got to be a Cummins diesel coming by, because my chair is doing this. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? So I look back, and Nicholas's leg's going about 300 miles an hour, about how mine was before. That's why I stood up. I stood up in the back so you wouldn't see mine. But Nicholas's leg was standing about 300 miles an hour. And I watched Nicholas, and he looked at me and the preacher. About this time, I was working on my heart already. And Nicholas began to look at the preacher and I and says, God's called me to preach. And see where God brought him then when I first met him. He had 6 pocket knives in his pocket, a camouflage shirt on, and a big old rebel flag belt to a young man sitting in front of me. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. I remember when. As you let me watch all these things come to pass, as it seemed like God sat down beside me back there one evening. And he said, see, son, I was trying to tell you this all along. I was trying to show you this all along. But there's still more. There's still a generation who knows not God. He reminded me of these things. He reminded me, he said, hey, boy, you like to quote the verse. And I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And I felt none. He said, you like to quote that so good. What's your problem? I said, God, this is not me. Somebody's around me. You missed it. It ain't me. It's definitely not me. But the Holy Spirit began to continue to tap me. The preacher would preach, and it would get so loud in my own head that the Holy Spirit began to roar. And he said, you know what he's saying is true. He preached the last couple of Sundays. I don't know how long it's been ago. He went through Elijah the whole time. I'll be honest with you, it was fantastic. I have no idea what he said. Because all I could hear was my name rolling over and over and over. And I know he saw me because I had to look at the ceiling most of the time. Over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit said, I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to show you something. Brother Mark came in for that revival. And God said, he's talking to you. The preacher would stand and preach. And the Spirit would say, that's still you. The young people would be able to move. And he'd say, they still need you. The choir would sing and God would say, I'm looking for you. I can't tell you how many times I heard in my head, Brother Mark ain't going to be here forever. I can't tell you how many times went over and over again, your grandpa has already fought his fight. He's then moved on to the other side. I can't tell you how many times he said, Brother Allen ain't going to be around forever. Great men of old who stood in the gap for their generation and for their people are slowly passing off the scene. And he began to say, why not you? Why not you? And I would find myself begging and praying and begging God, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure you're talking to me? Then I'd switch and say, well, wait a minute, am I sure this is you? I did have pizza for supper last night and it didn't settle right. This ain't the pizza talking. All right, now I need to make sure, God, is this you talking to me? 2 Friday nights ago, thanks to Calvary Baptist Church, Brother Justin Cooper stood and said, I want everyone to turn over to the book of Esther. And immediately, instead of, oh yes, I thought, oh no, here we go. He turned over to the book of Esther, and he said, please don't go to Esther chapter 4. He said, turn over to chapter 4. I said, please don't go down to 14. He said, we're going to focus on 14. I said, please quit listening to what I'm saying. He was tapped or something. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. In that remembrance, God brought me back to all those memories. He called all those things back to remembrance and said, okay, son, I've taught you from your youth. You've got a goodly heritage. You don't know this, but one of the first teen pastors I had, we obliterated the book of Esther. So all those things were coming back to my memory over and over for such a time as this, for such a time as this. I enjoyed teaching for such a time as this. But then all them words that I had spit out were then coming right back at me. He said, son, for such a time as this. And God looked at me and said, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, that's okay. I ain't going to force it on you. If you want to hold your peace, that's fine. But I'm going to deliver, and I'm going to move, and I'm going to call somebody else, move to another. The choice is yours. But you best recall, if thou art come to this place in your life for such a time as this. I went to that service, and I know Miss Maddie could feel it. Once again, you better marry right. Golly, you better marry right. I told him, I know Miss Maddie could feel it. And I thought, I made it out of another one. That's bad. Don't do that. I thought, man, I made it out of another one. Made it out of another one. Guess what? Saturday come, we had visitation. I thought, I made it out of another one. Sunday come, he preached. Again, right to me. And I don't think he might have been doing it. I don't know. Maybe him and Maddie was talking. He might have been doing it directly to me and trying to, I don't know. But I don't think he was. I go over and over and over again. God said, if not you, I'm moving on. Here's your opportunity. Well, somehow, some way, the teenagers ended up serving food yesterday at the preacher's conference. And they did a fantastic job, by the way. Thank y'all so much for all that you did. Well, it was a sharp group of teenagers. They were the standard. We talked about be the standard this year. Yesterday, y'all were the standard. Thank you so much. But they got in there, and I remember Brother Bradley Boone got up first. And he preached on bivocational preaching. Pastor, that had nothing to do with me, all right? But at the very end, as he was getting ready to preach, I think there was a picture of Will Smith on the phone screen too. That was funny. But in the middle of his preaching, he got to it, and I think, yeah, I love Brother Bradley. Yeah, he's doing a fantastic job. Yes, this is all making good sense. Well, he's doing a fantastic job, Brother Bradley said, for such a time as this. What's that got to do with bivocational preaching? What's that? I thought, oh, Lord, here we go. Went throughout the day, and Brother Pope got up and did a good job, and Brother Jonathan got up and did a good job. David Williams got up, and they kind of split the women and the men. Brother David Williams got up, and he said, I'm going to preach today or teach today on character and ethics. Most of you don't know, if I'd have chose the will for my life, I'd have been a North Carolina Highway Patrol. That was my path. That's what I wanted to do. They were some bad dudes that got to go really fast in Dodge Chargers, catch people that were speeding while speeding. That was mine. Let me do it. That was me, if I could choose my will. I'm thankful that ain't the case. But that was me. And he got up and talked about it. He's telling stories about my North Carolina Highway Patrol days and his 2014 days and his Cowboys and Indian days, basically, in them days. I thought, man, that's awesome. Yeah, tell me some more about that. And he got through in character and ethics, and just as the preacher encouraged everybody to listen, boy, if you got to go hear his character and ethics message that he preached. I don't know where it's going to come out, but you got to go hear it when it does. He did a fantastic job, and I thought, man, that was a good job. And as he bowed his head to pray, he bowed his head, and did he not? He said, for such a time as this, Lord. I said, here we go again. Here we go again for such a time as this. God continuously reminded me over and over, and I tried to fight it, and I sit back here where Brother John's at, and I tried to fight it, and I didn't even eat lunch because I was so sick to my stomach. I said, Lord, you got to help. You got to help. I got to know this is you. About that time, Brother Allen come in. They began to give away some stuff, help the preachers, and everybody got neckties, yada, yada. Brother Allen got up. Brother Allen began to preach. It pays to serve God. And he preached his britches off, and he was running up and down I'm on top of the chairs and all over the place that it pays to serve God. And I have no idea, but for some reason, he's up here preaching. All of a sudden, he says, Elijah. And he paused just like that. Like, what? You know, I almost said, what? Like, why does he need me? So I looked up, and he was not even looking. He was over here. I thought, what? And he paused there. And then he continues on, and I tell you, when he said my name, my feet began to sink, and God sat down beside me back there and said, you're going to quit running? You're going to quit playing? If not you, I'm moving on. But I got to know the answer. I've been good to you. I've blessed you. I've given you the opportunity for such a time as this. He said, son, there's a generation that's dying and going to hell that knows not God. And you're going to have to make a decision. And I sit back there and I begin to weep. I said, okay, God, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. I told you all this to get you in verse 18 where I want you to go of Psalm 71. Where I'm currently at in my life is verse 18. The first word is, now. Now. My prayer is, O God, forsake me not, till I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Church, there's a generation that's growing up that knows not God. There's a generation growing up without God. Lord, let them see You and me. There's a gap in the hedge. Great voices of voice-worn men of God are stepping off the scene, and they've passed the test of time, but they're leaving. Lord, let them see You and me. There's little ones in here even now, but I begin to think about Jet. I look back there and see Jet. You see all the little ones around, Aaron's little girls. You see all those little kids and say, hey, what's going to happen to them? Samson, what's going to happen for them? If there's not, is there not a cause? Is there not anybody stepping back up for that generation? And God began to say, hey, what about my little one that's on the way? What about who's going to stand in the gap for them and make up the hedge for them? And I said, God, put me in now. I've got a child on the way. Who's going to teach them, thus saith the Lord? Who's going to show them that it truly pays to serve God? Oh God, forsake me not until they know. Will you come start playing? Oh God, forsake me not until they know. Church, there's a bunch of goodly heritages in here tonight. There's a bunch of good young people in here tonight. I have had a fantastic, fantastic experience. And I thank those young people for loving me. I thank those young people for bringing us in and accepting us. They didn't have to do that. The young people could have said, we're tired of this. This is like number seven. We're not going to fool with him. All right, we're not going to listen to him. We're just all going to graduate up to the next round. But they didn't. We got some fantastic young people. Fantastic young people. But young people, just as I told you the other day, I want to go to the next level. I don't want to stay on the same plateau. Hey, for such a time as this, I want God to use us. I want us to be the standard this year, next year, and in the years to come. How about it, grandparents? There's a generation that weighs in the balance. There's a generation that knows not God. How about it, mamas and daddies? There's a generation that's either going to die and go to heaven, or they're going to die and go to hell. How about it, teenagers? Your generation is hanging in the balance. What you going to do about it? For such a time as this, God has for some reason allowed me to stand before you this morning or this evening and tell you just my heart, tell you what He's done for me. But He can do that for you. He wants to deliver you. Lord, now also when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not till I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and the power to everyone that is to come. The preacher's coming. The preacher's coming. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Some of you, you know from your youth. You know what you got to do. You know you don't have much time to do it. I ask you to pray for me that I'd be pleasing and honoring before a thrice holy God. Young people, let's go to the next level. For such a time as this, there's a generation that's dying. Oh Lord, Thou hast taught me from my youth. But now, before I'm old and gray-headed, God, use me. Use me to plug in.